Okay. And as you can see, I have health educators in my organization who do things such as this. That's the way I've learned early in my 10 years of health directors. You always hire people smarter than you are, so you can keep you going. Okay. This is looking at our partnerships and looking at now I can hit my arrow, right?
The arrow, right and left arrow keys.
Very good. So there's our disclosure, and that's who we are. And Aaron's presentation, and Aaron is at the UNC School of Public Health, and she's a member of the Institute for Public Health. And she is going her. So what I'm going to be talking to you about this morning is about the overall concept of incubators in North Carolina and how they came about, and why we think that they're an important part of what we do. In looking at the particulars of how we develop, one of the things I think is very helpful is to know that North Carolina is, I think, very unique in terms of public health. There are 85 health departments in 100 counties, and in one of the presentations yesterday, we have a collage of local county health departments, of multiple county health departments. We have public health authorities. We have privatized health departments. So we've got like five different models that we use. And the thing that we are very dependent upon is collaboration in order to make what we do successful, because those 85 health departments are autonomous. And that relationship that we have with the state of North Carolina is that they provide funding and federal flow-through funding to local health departments. So that's a bit of a unique approach in that we are very used to working together and collaborating as entities in our state. So part of what we wanted to do in developing the incubator project is sharing innovation, promoting replication, and inspiring expansion. So we took the business model of incubators. I was on the elevator and told someone that that I was going to be talking about incubators. She says, "Oh, you work in a maternity ward." I said, no, I'm not those kind of incubators. These are business incubators. And looking what are we doing with our public health incubators, that they are voluntary associations of local public health agencies that have been granted legislative funding to work regionally on shared public health priorities. And one of the things that our Health Directors Association, which is one of our intimate partners, we developed regional working groups about 15 years ago. So that was basically the model that we used when we were setting up incubators, because we had already established working relationships with one another. So at this point, this is a map of North Carolina, and moving from west to east, I like to start at Carolina Blue, and that is our western partnership, and which takes, to the north of that would be the Northwest Partnership, and Candace is going to be speaking to you about the activities of that partnership. The Southern Piedmont is south of that includes like Charlotte, Mecklenburg. The blue includes like the city of Asheville. The Northwest includes like Winston-Salem. The Central Partnership, which is kind of a mustard yellow, is where I am located now. And that includes the areas in North Carolina called the Triad and the Triangle. And it runs from Greensboro to Raleigh. To the south of that is our South Central Partnership. It includes like cities of Fayetteville, where Fort Bragg is. And finally, in the very northeastern part, is our Northeastern Partnership, and it's actually where our incubators got started. And again, going to the northeastern part of North Carolina are the kind of lightish green, greenish color. That developed, those are very poor and rural counties, and they were what we call Tier 1 in terms of economic development. So those 19 counties in 1999 came together, and because of trying to develop economies of scale and pull their resources together, because being so poor, they couldn't do things on their own, they decided to garner the regional assets. And from that and from their idea, the rest of the incubators spawned. I think ours and the in the west and northwest came about the same time, and then the most recent one is the southeast. And the ones that are in white are not members of any particular incubator project. But since that time, from 1999, we have six different partnerships across 81 counties, and we've been able to bring in more than $12 million on 30 different projects on an array of various topics. So clearly we feel that this model has had success, but the kind of growth that we have hasn't happened without a lot of pain. And as we go through here about how the incubators share and leverage resources, it certainly was for me, but anyway, reading my notes, but anyway. One of the things, too, is that we really work together to sustain and to collaborate on our activities. Where it came from, incubators was our business concept because we're inking ideas, and we're also incubating, we're focusing on innovation, and our regional partnerships aim to calm to solve common public health problems with new approaches, and of course we incubate all kinds of things. In our regional collaboration, those of us who are local health directors serve as the boards, and we are also responsible for a collaborative leadership model. What we've been fortunate in North Carolina and the funding that we've received, that we're able to coordinate our work groups and set up task forces because we're able to hire folks like Candace who oversee and coordinate our activities. What we do is that we focus on regional priorities through intervention projects and capacity building. Also, the regional grant writers, like we say, Candace is involved in her particular incubator writing grants, and now in the central, we are working on a grant with the University of North Carolina and the University of Arkansas on workforce development. So there, and we're approaching Robert Wood Johnson about funding. So those are one of the areas where the funders look at multi-county regional collaborations and are very looked upon very favorable for funding. And looking at the work of the incubators, each partnership generates specific regional public health priorities and projects, and I'll speak to you more about that later. Some of more than 30 active incubator projects across our six regional partnerships include, in the northeastern region, we have an HIV mobile clinic that goes from county to county doing testing and counseling for folks who may be at risk for HIV because of the distance, transportation is obviously a problem, so we're able to bring the services to the patients and do follow-up. One of the big issues in North Carolina is our accreditation program, and the incubators work very well in providing our preparation for accreditation. Yesterday, Dr. Mary Davis did a presentation on our accreditation program in North Carolina, and what we do amongst ourselves is we shamelessly share policies, procedures, and we work really closely together because we really want each other to succeed. And I think that's a very common thread that we have in North Carolina collaborations. Collective purchasing of environmental health technology and data standardization. I don't know how other states are, but in North Carolina, the IT tends to be perpetuated by the state. And so our environmental health folks and local health departments went looking for a proprietary program and found one that really works well. As you know, there's a whole lot more flexibility in the proprietary models. So we are basically within probably 2 years of having a common environmental health data system throughout North Carolina. And again, looking at 85 health departments in 100 counties, that's a major accomplishment. Another part of the data standardization is the use of GIS technology, which has been very valuable. And as you may remember, the earlier map, the blue, the very western counties technology, is they use handheld technology, and they develop that by getting handhelds out to all of their different counties for doing all types of different public health analysis, trying to find clusters of disease. And as a matter of fact, we had a Legionnaires outbreak, and that proved to be invaluable in one of our western counties. Other projects include our HPV vaccination program and a social marketing initiative to get the word out to folks, and research on growing and aging population to improve the access and quality of care for our seniors. The Institute for Public Health provides our oversight and support for the incubators throughout North Carolina. They're the folks who come in and evaluate the programs that we're doing. They look at connecting resources and make sure that there's no duplication. They help us in finding, they help us in facilitating meetings, working through our strategic plans, working through our data collection, helping to identify and filling gaps. They work with us in documenting our progress, which is very important in trying to sell it back to the General Assembly and to our local county boards of commissioners in terms of the work that we're doing, helping to really market and tout the success that we're doing. And that's one of the things by us being up here today to share with you all across the country the kinds of good work that these incubators are producing. The university also, through the institute, evaluates our projects. They help us and do our strategic planning, sitting us when we sit down and go through the process of being very deliberative in terms of looking at our priorities. Again, helping us with the grant writing, and most importantly, folks like Candace helping organize our financial resources and keeping us on track. So going in from what was Aaron's part into my part of the presentation, when we were developing the incubator project ideas, back in the 90s, you may remember, those of us who've been around a while, back in the 1990s, in the previous Clinton administration, looking at the idea of health care reform and really trying to move forward in health care reform. And since we didn't really know what that was going to look like, we started trying to think strategically at how we might could work better together and locally. So what happened in North Carolina, our General Assembly decided that in looking at human services that they were going to tackle the issue of mental health first and then come to work in public health. So in the early part of the 2000s, our mental health programs were reformed, and I can tell you without any type of reservation, it's been an unmitigated disaster. North Carolina's public health system has tragically gone by the wayside. We're trying to figure out ways that we can put it back together again. The idea was to kind of privatize everything, and what we have are folks who are walking the streets, $420 million in waste that they found and how they had done programs. So we're trying to rein things back in. And my personal thought is that probably we're going to have mental health under public health within the next 5 to 10 years. But anyway, we saw what was, when I say we in public health saw what was happening in mental health and knew that we didn't want that to happen to us. So we set about making changes. We set about taking on initiatives such as ourselves for our own self, not only self-preservation, but also we knew that we had the intelligence and wherewithal to really address public health issues among ourselves since we did the public health work. And in North Carolina, we really believe in a bottoms-up type of a grassroots-up types of public health services. But anyway, part of the secretary at the time when we were presenting it, the incubator projects didn't like it, and she was not very supportive, but she's the one who did the mental health reform and is now not in North Carolina. She was just ahead of the posse. I won't tell you where she is, but she's working for a foundation. But we did garner a lot of support in our legislature, and because one of the good things about being local health directors, we're very closely attached to our representatives in our local areas. So, in looking at the local perspective, how does it benefit me as a local health director? First is promoting participation. As I've mentioned, in North Carolina, since we're so closely tied to the hip, being more or less a confederation of how we are as service providers, we have to work together. Of course, Pareto's law always comes into effect. 80% of us want to play together, and there are always that 20% who you have to really kind of drag, sometimes kicking and screaming, to help you take care of your programs. Is that total time or just my time? Total time. Well, I got to hurry then, don't I? Well, anyway, what the other parts of what we do is like encouraging innovation, trying to find ways that we can, and then finally initiating best practices. So what does that mean? I was talking about the collegial collaboration by consensus, that we have a commitment to cooperate amongst ourselves in that I'm going to help you and you're going to help me, but the idea is how can we better serve the patients and how can we better provide services and how can we better help the people in the counties and the areas that we work in, and how can we do that regionally? And then also, promoting participation includes that we coordinate our project development. So encouraging innovation, and that's one of the things that I think is really unique about our program, in that we base what we're going to do upon a strategic plan, that we take the data analysis I'd said earlier, where the Institute for Public Health has been very valuable in providing us with this opportunity to share information. We promote out-of-the-box thinking, not always what we've done, but how we can do things better. And finally, looking at mutual support and developing creative solutions, which results in initiating best practices. We have to sell the programs both within a partnership as well as among the staff and our local agencies. And you all know how trying that can be when you're trying to initiate change. But when we're doing that, we're trying to convince our staffs, too, about how it's going to be more efficacious, how it's going to create efficiencies, making their jobs better and easier so we can serve our patients while achieving economy of scales. And the other part of that is if we're doing a really good job, we can promote that to our state policy makers. The challenges that we have include replication and perpetuation of our models. How do we sustain the work that we've done and make it applicable into the future? The research and development of new projects, again, be an incubator. How do we continue to hatch our new ideas? And finally, assuring the sustainability of our partnerships, keeping us in these groups of people working together. So with that, thank you very much, and I'll pass it to Ms. Candace.
Okay. When I get nervous, I talk fast and now have an excuse because I have 3 minutes left. The Northwest Partnership for Public Health, you see, is the square. We have 8 health directors. We have a few extra people in here, but their backgrounds really influence the kind of projects we do. And here we have a physician. We have 2 environmental health specialists. You see Mr. Bass, social work, and then also some varying other professions that really influence what kind of projects we do. One example is the community opinion survey as part of our accreditation. Before we applied the incubator model to it, we took it by hand. We did newspaper surveys and that sort of thing. Afterwards, we used GIS systems to go randomly house to house asking questions. This is based off of a hurricane rapid needs assessment model where we ask, instead of hurricane questions, we ask about people's access to health care, that sort of thing. HIPAA, before, you see the manuals and the reading. We applied the incubator model to it. Now it's online for training for our public health departments. People who are even technologically challenged find that this works very well for them. They can answer questions, go through, and at the end there's a little quiz to test their knowledge. This is an exceptional part of it where the person chooses what things should not be left out on their desk, for example. In 2007, we did an environmental health study, again, with our environmental health health directors' backgrounds. We looked at who is in environmental health. We had 433 of our 800 environmental health specialists answering. We had supervisors and then specialists. We found out that the reasons that they work for their current job, number one, that they can work independently. It didn't have anything to do with water or food safety. It had to do with the level of independence they experienced at their job. Number two was believing in protecting the work environment, working out of doors, wanted to use the college degree, and the job was close to home. That really can influence how we recruit environmental health specialists. Way down the list, number 12 was drinking water, and number 18 was helping enforce public health laws and regulations, which is so often what our environmental health specialists do as a priority in their job. But again, it was way down the list. Reasons for leaving the field, environmental health, poor and inadequate salary, lack of career advancement, and then way down the list of that was the job was too stressful. We did another environmental health study looking at the educational backgrounds of environmental health specialists. We found that North Carolina is requires the most, good, bad, whatever the North Carolina system requires, the 4-year degree, 30 hours of science, and then extensive training afterwards. We found 2 other states, Missouri and Alabama, that required the four-year degree, but Virginia, Indiana, and Michigan did not require a degree at all for environmental health work. We've looked at best billing practices. You know, we've gone from bundle coding in public health to CPT coding in public health, and we've started having to look at how people are trained in this. You know, doctor's offices do a very good job in training for CPT coding. It's their bread and butter. In public health, not so much. We're looking at ways to improve this. Social justice is another issue that we've looked at. We've done a video of three North Carolina families that have been affected. We have a Caucasian, African-American, and Hispanic family. All are equal in the sense that they have limited access to health care, limited resources. They've all been affected by the economy in some way, and so we've tried to put that into how it is for West North Carolina. Different strengths that we've done through the partnership that are not necessarily incubator projects. We've looked at having lunches with local legislators and also, again, as Barry mentioned, the collaboration on grant writing. And then looking at regional discussion around preparedness. You know, we all have preparedness funds that we need to look at, and using a regional preparedness coordinator as opposed to a local preparedness coordinator is something we've explored. And then for more information, there's our website. We do have handouts in the back with all this information on it as well. Thank you.